on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Hold on a second. Let me make sure that Yvette's sitting here with me.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Yvette.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay, good. We're all kind of, we've had the holidays that, dadgum those holidays.
No, they're fun, but they're very distracting.
They are so distracting. If we didn't have that, the work day might be a little easier, but it would get old after a while. But anyway, Yvette had been off. We took off at different times, so we overlapped. And that's why, and I'm going to be the one to fall on the knife, we didn't get a chance to huddle together until today to look at really trying to fill out all the things that you folks might like to see about, how big our practice is and all that. Although we did talk about that last month, but not to the detail that you probably want to dive into. But we promise you we're not going to be crummy students. We're seasoned veterans, and we hope you'll treat us that way once you determine yourself that that's indeed what we are. So,
okay. All right, but again,
I don't want to do all the talking. Yvette's going to certainly do that, but you're going to hopefully do most of it. But just to refresh your memory, because it's been about a month since we spoke, we want to be real specific with the help from you because of what you've done for Gerald Salmon and I say Salmon, I think he said Salmon.
Right.
But yeah, we having had coach last year and having been at opportunities where we had short coaching sessions before, Yvette and I feel like we kind of know what to do with the exception of getting rid of the small clients. That's what's clogging us up. We know it. We both have our philosophies about it. We share the similar philosophy. And then when we get down to it and we start culling the books, then we come up with excuses to keep someone instead of coming up with the correct reasons to jettison them. And Gerald and his daughter, Jerry, said, wow, that's exactly where we were. And then Rob, you helped them do it because you held them accountable. And I think that's what we've got to do is to have somebody outside of this office to hold us accountable, not just to tell us what we need to do. So I plan not to do all the talking, but I just wanted to let you know that we think you can really boil this down and get down into the weeds and help us specify a particular couple of tactics here.
Well, is Madeline there, or Madeline?
I'll get her in here. I'm sorry. She was working on a couple of things outside, but we do want her involved. Hold on.
Yeah, Rob, and like I said, I'm sorry we did not. If we were supposed to do our homework already beforehand, I'm sorry we didn't get around to it.
No, that'll be okay. Just finish, fill it out, and email it to me. Could you?
Okay.
That would be great.
Okay.
It's Rob Knapp. It's rdknapp@supernovaconsulting.com.
We got it.
We should be able to do that by the end of the day.
End of the day, yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, end of this week, yeah. And it's funny, I tried to, while Yvette was out, I can do this. And then I thought, I don't know if I can or not, because it's like, oh my God, do we really have, 9 million clients? I don't want to know, but we will get that information to you for sure. And Madeline's coming in here. She's putting out a quick fire, but she's going to come in here in just a second.
All right, good, because she's really going to be critical to this whole organization piece.
Absolutely. And she is, in fact, she just came in. This is Rob, Madeline.
Hey, Rob.
Hi, Madeline. Hi, how do you do? It's nice to meet you.
She's very critical to what we do every single day. I mean, I'm not saying that because she's in here and I'm sucking up to her, but it's true. I mean, we've got it, pretty well set up here where Madeline manages the practice and the both of us have our hats that we wear and compliment each other. So, anyway. And I promise I'm going to shut up, so you talk.
All right. Well, that's one of the things that's most important here, and one of the biggest fans that we have is the CA, sales assistants, CSAs. They love Supernova because it means that they're, you know, we go from an emergency room to an operating room, and that's a big difference. So, you know, you can't operate on 50 people at once. So that's part of what we do is we focus and concentrate our efforts on each individual client. Each one becomes quite important. And it isn't a matter of getting rid of clients. It's more a matter of focusing your energy on the clients that you want to keep. So we don't really tell you, you know, these are the clients you need to get rid of. What we say is, let's find out who are the clients that if there was a worst case scenario, you would not want to lose them. So that's the part that I want you to work on is look at the clients that you really want to keep. And then we'll figure out what to do with the rest of them. It's a different mentality. When we started, we like everybody else, you know, focused on getting rid of small accounts. And that's kind of a crazy game because you never get there. So instead we drew a line at 100 and then said, okay, these are the clients that, you know, 80, 90, 50, 60, whatever number it is that give us all our business. The 20% that give you 80% of your revenues, or in most cases, the 20% that give you 90% of your revenues. And those are the people that if we lose one of them, we're really in trouble. So we want to keep them. In order to keep them, we have to give them an exceptional experience. And we said, what do they want? And what we determined that they wanted was they wanted us to know who they were. And that was determined that they wanted a financial plan. And they didn't want to do three of them. They wanted to do one of them and have one team that knew them very well. And then they wanted regular client contact. They wanted to hear from us every month. They wanted four times to review their personal situation, financial plan, performance, and twice a year meet with us in person. And then they wanted rapid response to their problems, 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. And we could do that, but we couldn't do it with 300 or 600 clients like we had at the time. And so we reduced it down to 200, each financial advisor, and then we found out we didn't have time to grow. We didn't have time to really spend time with our best clients, so financial advisors have told us that 100 is the max that they can do unless they want to work nights and weekends. And the average financial advisor that's been doing Supernova for more than 3 years has about 70 clients.
I just can't. Rob, I just got to make an editorial comment to myself. I can't imagine that. But that's great.
Yes. Yeah, can you imagine how great that is, though?
Yeah, I know. Wow.
You know, I thought to myself, you know, I was driving around a little Porsche that I liked, but it was uncomfortable. It was a 1988. So I traded it in on a car that was much more comfortable, still sporty, but I like driving it, and I like sitting in it, and I could take a long trip in it. So at a certain stage of your life, you stop doing what you think you should do and do what you want to do. You know, and I think it's in this case, you know, what you'd love to do someday is have 70 clients. And so why not? You know, now's a great time.
Yep.
You you don't have to go to 70 clients. Like I said, you know, that's 2 or 3 years into the program, they've got 70 clients. So we start with, you know, how many clients are really critical to you guys? Have you got a really flat practice, meaning you don't have a lot of big clients, then it's going to be a little more challenging. But if you have a typical practice where 20% give you 80% of your revenues, then that becomes much, you know, it becomes more manageable.
Rob, I know we're going to get into this a lot more in detail, but as I wrap my arms around the concept and the number, and especially the fact that you came up with a whole concept of who do you want to keep instead of who do you want to get rid of, because, you know, I think we've been, is it fair to say, ladies, we've been going to the who do you want to get rid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've gone in the front door thinking that's the way to go, and now this is coming in the back door, and it's got a whole other refreshing outlook to it for me. But do you, as we go through this exercise with you, will we look at the size of the household, or do you look at the revenue generated?
There's 11 different criteria that are in the book that George Kemp first came up with when I talked to him about doing this.
Uh-huh.
He said, you know, as long as I'm going to do this, I might as well do it and really determine who are my critical players. All right, so he came up with 11 different criteria. We have 9 that we use, but generally it's a matter of what creates the value in the client, right? So they have to do the revenues. They have to have the assets. Typically, what is their profitability? I mean, do you have to go to California 3 times a year to see them? You know, that cuts down on their profitability.
Right.
Do you like them? Do you trust them? Do they listen to you? Are they a center of influence? So what he did was he made these 11 criteria, and then he said, just for the fun of it, I want to see how many people go through all 11 doors. It's a really interesting exercise, right?
Yeah.
If you had a magic wand and you made every single, they had to go through every door in order to be a client, what would that book look like then? Well, he went from 634 clients, 33 made it through the door, all 11 doors, and he said, you know, just for the fun of it, those are the only clients I'm going to keep. And so we did. Crazy, right? That represented 90% of his business. And he doubled his business. He doubled his business in 18 months.
Well, we're all looking around stunned at each other like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. All right.
Yeah, so that's pretty radical, but I mean that's the math game. He was an engineer, and you know he had done financial plans on his clients, and he was frustrated because he couldn't implement them. He really couldn't spend the time with his clients. So what he was able to do is literally spend a full day at their work with them, really learning about their business.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just do 12-4-2. He did 12-4-2, and the one was, one of those twos was a full day with them. And he would do it, if they were a family and they weren't a business, then he would spend a day with the family and do financial, you know, do a family meeting where he would help them with their estate planning and go through everything with the whole family. Really interesting stuff. Now, that was years ago now. Keep in mind, that was 1990. That was about 99. Mm-hmm. You know, around 2000. So that's 19 years ago now.
Yeah.
And then we implemented it across the board because we were losing accounts. You don't have the urgency of somebody stealing your best clients because they're doing financial planning. We did. We were losing our best clients to a local financial planning firm who had a minimum of $5 million and said, why would you do business with those brokers when you can do business with our fee-based, fee-only financial planning firm? You know, we're the good guys, they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And so we'd lose these $10 million clients in those days, and so we had to come up with a plan that would duplicate what they were doing to us. So we had a real sense of urgency.
Yeah, yeah. And we're doing, we do plans, you know, for everybody.
Yeah, but we really don't.
Yeah, I know.
We don't, we do the plans, but we really don't monitor.
Yeah.
You know. Them
right.
Well,
yeah.
You know.
It's kind of like rebalancing a portfolio. You know, you can't rebalance if you don't have any time. You can't. Here's what a guy said to me today. He's in his 12th week, and he said, the Supernova 1242 is going really well. I really like it because now I have time to do all the things I didn't have time to do with each of the clients. So we're, I said, so is it generating more business for you? He said, yes, people are consolidating accounts. We're finding the orphan IRAs and 401ks and things I never had a chance to get to. And we're doing estate planning and other things that I just never had time for, insurance and other things. So he said, yeah, it's my business is good. He said the markets, you know, the markets are down, so the fee-based revenues are going to be down, but probably offset by the new revenues that we're bringing in. That doesn't mean that he's going to prospect, though, okay? Prospecting is a separate game we have to talk, you know, we have to talk about, because if you're not prospecting now, because you do Supernova doesn't mean you're going to prospect in the future. It just means I'll help you get organized and service your existing clients, and you do more business with them. But wrapping your arms around growing is a different game because it doesn't have the same urgency as servicing your existing clients. So we'll talk about that.
Okay, y'all
are
talking here.
Well, yeah. Questions.
I know that we can get to all these things, but I'm still kind of curious as to, you know, how. Like, I'm a little curious about the process. How, you know, like, how do you get, you know, just after week 12, like, you know, what can we expect? Like, this is what you're going to do at first, and this is what you're going to do at second, you know, something like that.
Right. Well, we separated into four-week increments. So we meet together each week. You have a video that you watch. You get an email from Lori, and it tells you, you know, what is the next week's homework. And you have a workbook. And so before each week, you do the homework, you know, you watch the video, do the homework, and then I call. And my purpose is like, you know, in a math class or something, you ask the questions, I answer them. So you've got to do your homework in order to know what questions to ask me, you know what you don't know. And that's some, if I sit and I teach you the program, then we don't really learn as much because I'm teaching and you're listening, but you're, you know, if you watch the video, do the homework, and then get stuck, then I answer questions. Now you're really learning.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So we want your active participation as a team is really important. So I recommend you watch the videos together and that you have a meeting before you get on the phone with me. So spend about 15 minutes together discussing the previous lesson And did we do the homework? And what questions do we have? And is everybody on board with this particular pace that we're going at? And do you understand what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera? So we spend the first 4 weeks are in segmentation. And you know, that when I pick up a team that, you know, has 70 clients to start with, we don't skip through that. We spend time on it, but it's not as big a deal. When I have a team that has a lot of clients and they're stuck on segmentation, then we may spend the full 4 weeks, plus it may take them another 4 weeks to really get it done. But that's okay. You know, we customize this for you, so you'll like, it's not a cookie cutter thing. And you're the only team on the call, so we don't have to run through things. But we don't want to spend too much time, you know, on concepts that are kind of a given, you know, like the 80-20 rule. I mean, you kind of know that. It's a rule. So I will spend as much time as you want, but where we're heading is a really good place for you to balance your life, do more business, have more confidence, and give a client a better experience overall, and your team will be much happier. Now, the only thing you have to give up is the things that are eating up your time. And those are clients that aren't paying you enough to warrant your service. Now, you've got choices in terms of what to do with clients. You can give them to a call center. You can give them to another FA in the office. You can hire another FA to service them. But the reality is, clients that aren't profitable and aren't paying you enough, you know, just economically don't make any sense to service. So the best things in the world to do is to pretend they're not your clients. Pretend that you're looking at someone else's book and say, you know, this makes sense. So I often tell, like, if you're a two-person team, and you guys, you started separately and have some separate accounts, or how are you organized?
Yes, there's a lot of that. Jack's been in the business a lot longer, so he has a lot of, I mean, we all share, you know, there's different splits, we see everything. But he has the largest legacy book.
And you service your own clients?
To some degree. There's, like, for example, there's some people, there's actually, like, probably three people, just three, from Jack's legacy book that have kind of become my own clients. That I tend to interact with them the
more.
And then I don't think there's anybody from my side that Jack, except if I'm gone, he, of course, will jump in and cover as needed.
All right,
and then
so here's,
there's a lot that we've brought, you know, there's people we've brought in together.
So here's the easiest thing mentally to do. This is a riot to do. Jack, you're in charge of Yvette getting rid of her clients, and Yvette, you're in charge of getting rid of Jack's clients, okay?
It's not
going to
find that funny. It's not
funny. No, I'm laughing because it's like, I can't imagine that exercise. And, of course, the person who needs to get in there and get rid of both of them is poor old Madeline, who has to put up with it.
No, but the truth is, I feel like, and you're probably saying, don't waste time talking about this, but I need a little bit more creative ideas of what to do with some people, because, like, I started my business basically with friends, okay? And a lot of those people don't have much money, but they're still my friends.
I understand.
And They were the ones, you know, the ones who would talk to me in the beginning, right? So, you know, it's kind of, I just, you know, I need more clues as to how am I going to tell these people that I'm not going to work with them anymore.
You can tell them Jack said that we're not going to work with them anymore.
I'm actually being very good, believe it or not, for now where things come in. You know, people say, oh, I have a friend, I want you to talk to this and that. I say it up front now. I said, well, we really aren't, you know, we're really can't really add much as far as clients, but I'm happy to talk to them and see how I can help them or steer them in a certain direction. But the people who are already here, you know, I don't know.
Right. So one of the things to do is you've got to get established if you head to, all right, the boat is sinking and you need to take 100 clients with you, all right, who would the 100 clients be? You need to know who you need to absolutely keep first.
Yep.
Financially, okay?
Right.
Who are the jerks that this is a great time to get rid of and you won't cry over them, okay? You don't need them. You're established. You know, what we tend to do is operate as if we're still the same people that started in the business, you know, 20 or 37 years ago. And we're not the same people, and we don't deserve to have to operate the same way.
Right.
We've earned the ability to say no. All right? And so that's really, that's psychologically an important thing. Now, there's a lot of different ways, but most of it is psychology of what we're going to do in order to overcome some of these things. But the second most important thing is once you determine who you want to keep, now you need to feel comfortable that if you had to turn over a friend because you were retiring or you were really sick or whatever, you had to turn them over to somebody else, who would that be? All right, now eventually you both are going to retire, all right? So you need to think about that anyway. Who would be a group or a person that you would that would be willing to take the clients that you, without any splits, would be very happy to have them take those clients? Now, sometimes that doesn't exist. But most of the time it does. And so that's what I want you to think about. We call it stair step to the stars. So let's say that tomorrow you met a billionaire and he had, you know, an extended family of 20 family members and they were all worth $100 million, right? And you just didn't have time now to deal with small clients because he was, you know, reasonably demanding. And so you are going to triple your business or quadruple your business. You would find a place to send those other clients. And that's the mentality you have to kind of adopt, is that I love you, these people, they did bring me to the party, but you know what? They understand. I'm going to retire. I'm sick. I've got a new responsibility. I'm running the office. Whatever it is that mentally gets you past the idea that you are the only one in the world that can service them, once you get past that, then you look for somebody that can take care of them, and then your job is to make a good match and to really help them. Find another good person. Because their situation is probably fairly simple. They really don't need you. The other thing is price-wise, charging fees and making the fees high enough that it makes sense. So that's the other thing that we do. So we establish a minimum. And a maximum. The maximum number of clients that you're going to be able to service based on how many hours you're willing to work. Everybody says, well, I want to keep a lot of accounts. I said, good, then you're going to work nights and weekends. And then people say, I don't think that makes sense. I don't think that's a really good idea. So, you know, if you're going to work a typical 8-hour day and you want to have some vacations, then doing 12-4-2, which is our service model that we want to universally have, then you can't have 300 or 600 clients. So the idea is that you, unlike every other, see, what we're trying to do is be different. We want to differentiate ourselves in the market because it's a crowded market with everybody saying, pick me, pick me, pick me. I'm prettier, you know, I'm nicer, I'm this. But what in reality are they doing that's different? Everybody is giving pretty much the same things to their clients. You say, well, we have better service. Well, can you define that service? You know, how often do you call your client? How often do you meet with them? How often do you review their financial plan? And do you have a financial plan for every single client? So what we do is we establish a model that is second to none in terms of service, but it's, you know, it's not easy to do, and therefore it creates a moat around us. We become different in the market, and that's a hard thing to do today, is to be different. So what we offer is multi-generational planning with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that compare to what you're getting now, Mr. Prospect? And the prospect goes, I haven't heard from my guy in 6 months, or a year, or 2 years. And you go, well, every single client that we have gets 12-4-2. And they go, wow, how are you able to do that? And we say, because we only can service a limited number of clients. So we limit ourselves to less than 100 clients each. Wow. So what's your minimum? Our minimum is whatever you guys decide. So what would make logical sense for a minimum? Your minimum should be a combination of assets and revenues. It can't be just assets, right? We have $5 million clients that don't do any business. We have, you know, little clients. They give us, you know, little business. So what should our minimum be? Well, it should be at least the average of our practice or the mean of our practice. So if you're doing, how much are you guys doing now? What did you do for 18?
Hold on.
2.
It was 850 for me.
1.7. Well, hold on just a second. 50 plus. Let's call it 2.6.
Okay. The good news is you did 2.6 million. The bad news is you're going to have a pretty high minimum. And how much do you have in assets now?
3.
90. Well, with everything going down, I've had approximately 90 million on my end. I look at it every day.
Yeah. See, they break these things in. I think we got something like, where do you go?
I could look at you.
All right, hold on a minute, Rob.
You got about 300 million, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. All right, hold on a second. Where do you go, home?
No, here. Go to that arrow.
You get the dashboard differently there.
Right here, yes. Go to the arrow. Go to the desk. Go to the arrow. Down here, dashboard. Right here.
Roadkill.
Right here.
Oh, Lord. I think these ladies leave every day, Rob, and get in their car and they say, how in the hell did this guy ever get to where he got?
Because he talks on the phone all day long to everybody. That's amazing. It's great.
All right.
Okay, so now you go to assets.
All right.
And you go to scorecard. Right here.
So this is for both of us?
No, but I'll see you. I know where I'm 90.
All right. Yeah, I got to do this. This one right here that says me because it doesn't have you. All right.
Okay, so you're like...
230
plus 90.
230, yeah. 31. 325. Okay, better. Okay, and how much do you do in fee-based services? Approximately percentage or whatever you guys got.
Yeah, hold on a sec.
It's probably two-thirds. I would say
two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
Yeah.
It's a good estimate, but we will work it out.
Yeah, we'll let you know exactly. But I think it's like two-thirds of what we do. And transactional is not transactional buying and selling individual stocks, et cetera. It's mostly the annuity business that we do, which counts as transactional in the Morgan Stanley system.
Sure. Anything that you do that's a piece of insurance or a mortgage and all that, that's all transactional.
It's mainly annuities for us, annuities and life and insurance.
Good, good. Okay, so your average, you guys do the math for me. What is your average client? How many clients do you have?
You know where to do
that? About 440.
Is that households? Yeah. Let's call it 400 households.
More than that.
I'm embarrassed.
450.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of it.
Now, 450 households. Okay. All right. So take your 2.6 million divided by 450.
All right. That's 577,000.
That's really good. Because we've been using as a minimum now, as of last year, 500,000.
That we want.
That we won't take anyone with
anything less than that.
Right. Okay. Now, divided by 200.
All right. Wait a minute. 557 divided by 200. All right. That's 2,000.
No, the 2.6 million by
200. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. 2.6 divided by 200. That's 1.3 million.
Okay, so that's closer to the number that you really want as your absolute minimum. It's probably a million. Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Because 200 clients are giving you 80% of your revenues, I'm guessing.
Okay.
If not 90%. Okay. So just round it down. We go to 1 million, right? That's your, we call that your, because of psychology, see, people go, well, if it's my minimum's a million, then this guy's, he's got 800,000. I got to take him, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we all, so what we got to do is we got to create an absolute minimum, and then we create a target minimum.
Okay.
Now the target minimum, because we don't really want to bring in clients that are average, right, or below average. We want to bring in clients that look like the top 20% of our practice, right?
Right.
So let's say that the top 20% of your practice, if you guys can do that quickly, great. If not, we can ballpark it.
What do you think?
The top 20% is probably...
God almighty.
You know, our largest client is not that. Our largest client is what? Is it the bell?
12 million.
The 12 bell. Million.
12, 13 million.
Yeah.
Wait. Rob. Yeah, hold on. Rob, I'm sorry. Let me just check this real quick because we were... Okay, Bell. I think you're right. It's 16 million. But, I mean, it's not a...
They're like an outlier almost.
Yeah, 16 million. Okay, it's our largest.
But they're an outlier.
Yeah.
I'd say the bulk of that 80 of the people bringing the revenue are more in the...
One to half to two?
Yeah, probably 1.5 to 2.5 or 2 million.
Yeah, if you take
the top 20% of the 200, okay, not of the 450, but the just take the top 200 clients, the top 20% of those, mm-hmm. which would be, what, 80? No, that'd be 40 clients. The top 40 clients, right. Average of your top 40 clients, I bet is close to 3 million or 4 million.
It might be, yeah.
Okay, so that's what this is your homework, okay?
Okay.
So do this like a couple of engineers. Don't get your emotion involved. Just do it as an engineer and figure out what what are those 40 clients generating? What percentage are they generating of your revenues? And then what's their average that they give you? Those are the people, those 40 clients are your goal.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. I know we're going to get on this later on, but as we drill down into this discussion, and I don't want to be Dr. No at all. I want to embrace change. although I'm the guy that yells "Get off of my lawn." So, we very briefly discussed this with you last month, so there's no way I expect you to remember this. We've got an incredible source of referrals that come from an electric cooperative right down the road from us.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, we may get a $1.7 million distribution from one guy, and the next person comes out, and it may be $900,000.
Yeah.
And we don't want to get in, well, we may find out we want to get into the business of saying no to the $900,000, but the $900,000 came to us because his supervisor was the $1.6 and said, you got to go see Madeline and Yvette and Jack. And they've been hearing about us for many years. So, you know, are we killing the goose there?
No. And what I would tell you is seriously, you know, without knowing more, where you guys may want to get to is you need a third person.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And that's okay. That's okay. I don't want you to hire a third person to manage your clients that don't pay you. Okay?
Yeah.
But if you have a stream of income that is coming to you gratis, I mean, it's just pouring in, then, and it's profitable, then hire two more people. I'm not here to help you get poor. I'm here to help you get rich. Okay? You know, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. Mm-hmm. So I was in the business of growing financial advisors' practices, not in shrinking them. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean more clients. It just means more business.
Mm-hmm.
And if your market, you know, if there, here's the thing. You guys have a good market. Okay? You have a big enough market with rich enough people that you can grow your $4 million and $3 million clients.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But in the meantime, you've got a regular stream of income. Hey, hire somebody, pay them, and, you know, go for it. You can make a nice profit on that business.
Okay, I'm sorry about jumping around.
Yeah, but that's okay, because I think we're getting a big overview, and that's good. That's kind of what we wanted to do. I know we're going to dig in, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, my job is to help you grow, is to help you get organized, and then find the time to grow and have some balance in your life, okay? Because, after 37 years, you shouldn't be operating the same way you were. You have to have time for people that's $4 million or $10 million. If you don't have time for them, you're not going to get them. Okay? So you got to have time. You got to have time to find them, identify them, meet with them, prospect them, close them, and bring them in. And that's what you want to do is duplicate the 40 clients that you have.
Yep.
That's the key. That's the key. You don't want a lot of clients. If you can bring in 10 of those for 3 years, the average of the top 20% of your practice, you do that 10 clients for 3 years, you'll double your business.
Wow. And I just finished telling you I was embracing change, you know.
Right. So now you've gone from your 2.6 million to over 5 million.
Yep.
And you can hire people with that. You can, it creates a nicer life. 5 million is better than 2.5 or 2.6. And there's no reason you can't do it. And the idea is that we don't have more clients. We have the same number of clients, but we're doing 5 million now.
Mm-hmm. Does the system also, let's say after, I'm going to be fair to us and to what you said earlier, okay, 3 years we're into this, and we're almost where you're describing as this wonderful place that we want to be. Does the process continue to purge those of a certain level, or how do you do?
Of course, right? Because if it's a math game, right?
Yeah.
So what's your average of your new practice? And then you brought in, let's say you brought in just 3 clients that met your, the $4 million target. Well, you're doing, $12 million more. Or you have 12 million more in assets, so you're doing more business. So your average is now up,
mm-hmm.
right? Even if the market appreciates and your average goes up, your minimum goes up. Your average goes up, your minimum goes up, and your target minimum goes up automatically every year,
mm-hmm.
assuming it goes up. And so, of course, then that doesn't mean you get rid of everybody because the maximum is up to you, remember?
Right.
You have a target maximum and then an absolute maximum. The absolute maximum number of clients that you have is how many clients can you give 1242 to?
Yep.
How many clients can you call every month? Well, the average person can only call 100. And that pretty much eats up, that's 5 a day, which not everybody wants to meet with an individual and does another review and has 3 regular phone calls every single day, 5 appointments.
Mm-hmm.
The average person would like to have 4 or 3. Okay?
Right.
So that's why they like 70 more than they like 100.
Yep.
And if you say, I want 200, well, that means that you do 10 calls a day and 2 in-person reviews every day.
Wow.
I don't think that's what you want.
No.
I mean, there's a certain balance that you want in your life.
Yep.
Plus, you're going to say, these people don't deserve Supernova. They don't deserve 1242.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah,
but here's a saying I want you to remember. Your brand is not determined by your best client, but by your worst client.
Hmm. Wow.
So what is your worst client saying about you?
Depends on the day.
Well, I mean, they're saying, they're saying, I like him and he's great. How often you talk to him? I'm not sure. He calls whenever, he thinks it's important. And I haven't heard from him in maybe 6 months.
Yep.
All right.
And Madeline ends up hearing mostly from those folks.
Right. Is it all out? Is it ever outgoing phone call? Or is it just they call us when they need us? Well, that's not a service model.
Yeah.
See? So you'd be embarrassed to have 10 of the 10 worst clients meeting together talking about you to the newspaper.
Yep. Yep.
So that's really what I want you to focus on. Are we really delivering a great client experience to all of these people that we think we're so important to? And in reality, all they need is somebody like you that's a good, honest person that will take care of them and
right.
do their distributions from their 401k. I mean, how much work is it to take care of the required minimum distribution and manage a portfolio in a 401k of $200,000 or $300,000? They don't need you. You're wasting your surgical abilities on a person that's got a cold, okay?
Yep.
You're doing 2.6 million. You're not punks. You're not doing 600,000, mm-hmm. you know? You're good. You deserve to work with top people, and they deserve you. And if you don't have time for them, then you're never going to have to call them. Then they're going to get somebody else that's not good and not even honest.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to be available for the good, honest people that need you. And again, if you want to hire an office full of people, God bless you. That just takes time.
Yeah.
Takes time away from your practice. You know, you hire two or three more FAs to work for you to take care of all these people. Great, but then you got to manage them, and most FAs don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so you guys watch the videos, reread the book, think about it, and you know we're out of time today because I've got a schedule here lined up. But watch, you know, it's look, you're gonna love it, but it's gonna be painful. It's like a divorce. You just have to kind of get your head around it.
All right.
You can't go through it alone. You know, you're not going to go through it alone. You're never going to do it by yourself. You need somebody to guide you through this.
Because it's
hard. Look, I've been doing this, you know, since 94. Every time it's hard. But you know what? No one has ever done less business after they did Supernova. No one, ever. Thousands. No one ever has done less business.
All right, last question. And we'll let you go. The schedule that Cindy has sent out, I'm going to be out of the office and out of the country on the next two that she set up. So do I just go?
No. We cancel those. I need you there. So we'll just cancel those two, and we'll just pick it up the next time you're here.
Okay. That's what we wanted to do. I'll send her an email, and we'll cancel those so that they're not missing anything. Perfect, Rob. That's great.
Right. Yeah. We're flexible. You know, we want to keep it moving, but you have to be here. I mean, we want the whole team. You know, it's really important that everybody, especially in the beginning when we're doing all this, you know,
talking.
Brain surgery.
Yeah. Right. All right, my friend. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Is that Madeline? See you guys. All right.
See you. Bye-bye.